Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this familiar passage. May we come to it afresh, and may you teach us things about your son, Jesus, and our great need for him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Thank you. Great. I wonder if you can spot a fake professional. There was a program many years ago on Channel 4 called Faking It. I don't know if you remember at all. What they used to do is they used to take an ordinary person from the street, and they would train him in a profession for a month, and then at the end of that month, they would put that novice in a competition with other people who were experienced in that profession. And during that competition, three judges would go round to each competitor, and they would look at their skills. They would also ask the competitor questions about that chosen field. And by the end of the program, the judges had to say which one they thought was the fake and which ones were the real deals. Now, in some professions, the fakes passed as real deals. So in professions such as conducting an orchestra and being a chef, the fake passed as a real deal. And it's not surprising, because all you do in a conduct, you just move that thing up and down, don't you? I mean, it's not difficult. I could do it easy peasy. And a chef, anyone can make a good scrambled egg on toast, no problem. However, those novices, when it got to certain professions such as hairdressing, well, you couldn't hide, and they were seen straight away as being fakes. And I see that some people here today have... Let's not go down there. So those judges, they'd be looking for signs to identify which person was the fake and which person was the real deal. Sometimes the judges were successful, sometimes they were not. Sometimes a fake passed as the real deal. Well, I wonder, could you spot a fake preacher? Could you spot a fake preacher? I was thinking, if I had a month to train someone to preach, I wonder if you could identify any differences. So let's say next month somebody stands up here. Would you be able to discern if this was a fake preacher or a preacher who is the real deal? I mean, if I was training somebody, the things that I'd train them are things like Christian cliches. So, and a lot of them include bathing. So wash in the word, soak in the spirit, you know, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, bathe in the rich blessings that God has for us. So we're all very clean people, aren't we? We all smell lovely. And then there's, of course, preacher hyperbole, which, you know, preachers say big sentences like, everybody generalizes. Thank you. It does take a moment, that one, but the cleverer people do get it. And then you use the word all to describe people outside the church. So all the people out here on a Sunday outside of this church, they want the very worst for you. Preachers sometimes exaggerate, don't they? And then there's, of course, voice control. So it's getting very loud when you talk about judgment, or you see a chap at the back falling asleep. And then you talk very softly when you want to make a really important point. And then, of course, there's talk about Jesus. Now, hopefully, this is going to be the real clincher. And by the way, this is how you should measure every preacher. Does the preacher make Jesus the hero of every sermon? Does the preacher show you how Jesus is in every part of the Bible? Does the preacher tell you that you need Jesus? And then finally, there's the famous smile and nod. Make sure when people go out, you shake their hands, you smile, give them a warm smile, and nod at the things they say, even if it's things like, you're a loser and I hated your sermon. Thank you very much. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Come back next week. Be cleansed. So we've got a fake professional, a fake preacher. Can you spot a fake Christian? Gone quiet now, hasn't it? Can you spot a fake Christian? Well, it's really interesting. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we have this illustration between a wise man and a foolish man. Now, remember, Jesus has been teaching in this Sermon on the Mount what a real Christian does. And in this passage right at the end of the sermon, Jesus gives us one simple way to identify whether someone is a real Christian or someone is a fake Christian. And that is dead simple. Does a person do what Jesus says? Does a person do what Jesus says? You see, Jesus doesn't give us a secret code. He just tells us straight, if you are on my team, you will do what I say. If you don't do what I say, you are not on my team. It's the same choice that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. You know, God gave them that loving command not to eat from the tree that's going to kill you. Which sounds quite reasonable. I thought it was a good command. Or would they ignore God's good command and go off and do their own thing? Now, we know what that answer is, don't we? Because we all do the same. We all turn away from God and we all set ourselves up as the governing authority in our own lives. We all do our own thing rather than the God thing. Let me ask, how does that go for you when you do your own thing? I know personally speaking, whenever I stray from God's word, it doesn't turn out well for me in the long run. You know, sure, at the time when I'm doing it, it might feel nice, it might feel pleasurable. But ultimately, my disobedience, it affects me. It affects my relationship with other people. And most importantly, it affects my relationship with God. You see, a genuine follower will be somebody who does what Jesus says, even though it's hard. Even though it's going to cost something. And even though it's going to cut right against the thing you desire most at times. So my question for you, which team are you on? Are you a real Christian or are you a fake Christian? Now you see, the answer to this question, I think it's one of the most important answers to any question anyone's going to ask you. Even more important than, will you marry me? Or my favourite, what's for dinner? It's the most important answer because of the eternal consequences attached to it. You see, in Matthew 7 that Richard spoke on last week, we see Jesus giving warnings about people who reject him. If you've got your Bible open, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus says there's two gates. One is the narrow one that leads to life. One is the wide one that leads to destruction. In verse 19, Jesus says there's two trees. There's a tree that produces good fruit. And there's a tree that produces bad fruit. The tree that produces bad fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then in verse 21, there's two prophets. There's a prophet who does God's will and enters God's kingdom. And there's one who ignores God and is separated from God's kingdom. And in our passage we had read then, we see there's two foundations. There's one foundation that's built on doing God's word and remains, whilst the other foundation is built on ignoring God's word and crashes. My friends, please don't take lightly what Jesus is saying here. If you and I reject Jesus and his word, we can expect eternal destruction, fire, separation, and a great crash. You see, Jesus is using language that should grab our attention because he's using it in a way that he loves us. And he doesn't want us to experience these very real consequences. Did you notice that my voice got higher then because I was talking about judgment? Now, one of the most infuriating things about being a father is when your kids don't listen to you. And I'm not a perfect father by any means, but in general, I want what's best for my kids. And because I love them, I'm sometimes going to warn them about possible dangers. Now, for example, in our house, we have a dining room table which has four chairs around it and a bench. Okay, so I say to the kids, I say, listen, kids, okay, you must sit on the bench with your bottom on the bench. If you don't, you're going to slip off the bench and you're going to hurt yourself. And needless to say, there's times when they don't listen to their dad and they kneel on the bench. And what happens is they slide off, boom, they hit the floor. Okay, now when they're on the floor crying, they don't look up and go, oh, Daddy, your warning was so unfair and so unloving. I wish I would have listened to you. They think, you know what? I should have done what my dad said because, look, I've got a sore backside now with a sore head. And I normally comfort them once I've gone out the room laughing. But my friends, please don't let yourself get in a position when you're looking back on your life thinking, Jesus wasn't really being unfair or unloving when he gave us these hard images about eternity. Because at that point, it's going to be too late. There's no second chances in eternity. There's nothing called purgatory. The prayers of your grieving relatives, it won't count for anything. So answering this question, are you a real or a fake Christian? It has great significance. Now after that long introduction, we're ready to look at the text. Okay. Now the introduction's long because at the start of that passage, we see that there's a word therefore. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it therefore? I love that one. It's a great one. So the therefore could be read to conclude. So Jesus is saying, to conclude, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Now as we look at the text, we see that there's lots of twos. We see that there's two men, one wise, one foolish. There's two foundations, one rock, one sand. There's two houses, which seem the same. There's two storms, which are the same, because the word order is exactly the same. There's two responses to God's word. One hears the word and does it. The other merely hears the word. And there's two outcomes. One house remains, and one has a great crash. Now again, Jesus isn't overcomplicating things here. He says, look, if you hear my words, if you put them into practice, you are like the wise man who built his house on a rock. When a storm comes, the house stands firm. Now when Jesus is talking about a storm in this passage, okay, he's not talking about the one that we had last night. He's talking about God's judgment. He's talking about God's judgment. So he says, if you hear my word and put them into practice, you will withstand God's judgment. Well, how does that work? How do we withstand God's judgment? Well, I just want to take you back a little bit into Matthew chapter 4. Because at the very start of Jesus' ministry, he says this simple yet profound message. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now we know to repent means to change direction. It means to turn around. So Jesus is telling, look, you have to now turn to me. You have to surrender your desire to rule yourself and come to me and let me rule you. Well, I mean, why? Why should I do that? I mean, I want to rule my own life. I'm sure you want to rule your own lives. That's the way life is. Why should I give up my rights for Jesus? What's so special about this Jesus guy? Well, I think if we think about it, he says that the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, Jesus is talking about bringing a new kingdom. And we know stuff about this new kingdom because we see it in Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. We learn that this kingdom that Jesus is going to bring, the kingdom that we want to be part of, it's a great kingdom. It's a great kingdom because within it, Jesus destroys or makes a way for our punishment, the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Jesus makes a way for that to be taken away. Within this kingdom that Jesus is going to bring, we find that we're no longer separated from God our Father because Jesus makes a way for us to come back to the Father through the cross. In this kingdom, we also learn that, excuse me, in this kingdom, Jesus is going to come back from the dead. We call that the resurrection. Well, what's that got to do with anything? When Jesus comes back from the dead, it shows us that he is more powerful than sin, because sin leads to death, but Jesus rose from the death. And that's good for us, because if you're a Christian and you're struggling with sin, the Bible tells us that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside Christians. So that means that we don't have to be defeatist about sins in our life. We don't have to fly the white flag at sin and say, I give up, you're too strong, you're too powerful, I can't cope anymore. Because we have this power. We have this power living inside us. And finally, we want to be part of this kingdom because eventually Jesus is going to come again. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And that means that the presence of sin and the problems that sin brings are going to be done away with once and for all. You see, Jesus is the king of this kingdom. So when Jesus says, turn to me, we say, yes, please, because you are the king. You are the only one who can do these things that we need more than anything else. You see, a real deal Christian will hear these words of Jesus, repent. Will hear these words of Jesus, turn to me. And they will do it. But here's the irony. And if you only take one thing away from today, then listen to this, please. The only way you can repent is if you first realize that you and I are fakes. We are fakes. You see, I can only repent when I realize that I'm not the person that God wants me to be. You can only repent when you realize that you're a fake imitation of the person that God originally intended you to be. We have to know that if we're going to become the real deal Christians, we need to know that we're fakes to begin with. That we're cheap imitations. I remember I was on holiday when I was a kid, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was one of those beach holidays, and one of these guys was selling jewellery, you know, and he had this big box of gold chains. Oh, it was amazing. I was like, Dad, please, can I have a gold chain? I want to look like Mr. T. It was fantastic. So, you know, after my dad said no, because he's tight. And then eventually when I wore him down, because, you know, as kids do, you can just, oh, not me, I hate you. Okay, I'll get you a gold chain. It lasted 2 days. I jumped in the swimming pool, it went green. I thought my neck was going to fall off. Why? Because it was a cheap imitation. You and I are cheap imitations. When we understand that, we can repent and become real deal Christians. You see, a fake Christian won't repent. Because they already think they're the real deal. They already think that God is pleased with them because of the things that they do. And the hard truth is, none of us can earn God's favour. There's no righteous acts that we can do that meet God's standard. And there's no social standing that will impress God. So again, are you a real deal Christian or are you a fake? Now some people look in the Sermon on the Mount and they go, okay, well, Jesus is saying some things. If I do one or two of those things, then God will be happy with me and he'll let me into heaven. But the Sermon on the Mount, it's not meant to drive you to rules. The Sermon on the Mount is meant to drive you to Jesus. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is to act like an MRI scan. You know those things in hospital where you lie on your back, it's like a dome-shaped x-ray. You go in, boom, pictures of your body. They can see everything, things that you didn't even know existed. And they're like, yeah, okay, there's the problem. And they can treat you accordingly. The doctors can treat you accordingly. Well, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's meant to show you the area of your life where you're failing, where you're struggling, where you're a fake. And it's meant to drive you back to Jesus. What's the first beatitude? What's one of the first things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? Blessed are those who know they're a fake. And what will they receive? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you realize you're not the person you're meant to be, when you realize you're a cheap imitation, a fake, that's when you become a real deal Christian. That's when the kingdom of heaven becomes very, very real to you. You see, the key to being a real deal Christian is to acknowledge that without Jesus, you and I are fake, cheap imitations of the person God's designed us to be. Without Jesus, my friends, we are fakes. Without Jesus, we are fakes. But that's not all, because as real deal Christians, we're fully aware that we're always going to struggle with this sickness of sin. We're always going to struggle with it in our Christian lives. There's not going to be a day when you won't sin or struggle with sin. Whether that is from the Sermon on the Mount, whether that's anger, whether that's lust, whether that's hypocrisy, whether that's being tight-fisted, whether that's being fearful, whether that's treasuring things in front of the Lord Jesus, whatever it is, we will struggle. And because we struggle with sin, we always need the medicine. We always need the medicine of Jesus. We always need to turn back and receive Jesus. We always need to come back to Jesus and say, please, Lord, I need you. I need your help. But will you repent? Will you turn to Jesus, or will you continue to build your life on the fake foundation of your own righteousness? Or it could be that you're like Solomon. We had Solomon. Solomon, the king who started out brilliantly. He was going to follow God. He was going to serve his subjects the very best of his ability. But as we heard, Solomon liked the ladies. Now, I just realized by saying it in that like seedy voice, it might imply that I struggled with that as well, which I don't mean to, okay? Solomon struggled with the women, okay? With women. He was the Hugh Hefner of his day. Now, Solomon would be one of those people that Jesus would be speaking about. Remember Jesus when he spoke about lust? He gave severe, gouge out your eyes, chop off your hand. Because Jesus knew how serious lust was and the problems that it could lead to. And we see this being played out in Solomon's life, don't we? What do we learn? Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and they led his heart away. In that passage it said God appeared to him twice and spoke to him. And still Solomon didn't listen. Solomon treasured women above God. And I wonder what it is you treasure above God. What is it that you're not willing to repent from? It could be something obvious like, you know, pornography or drink or drugs or a lust for money. But it's probably going to be something more subtle like the need for approval, a love for comfort, a desire to be in control. You see, if you don't examine your heart, if you're not prepared to repent, then you're going to face the same conclusion as Solomon. Well, what was that conclusion? Well, let's just think of, I want to just for a moment compare Solomon with Samson. Left feet with Samson. Well, what did Samson struggle with? Samson struggled with the ladies. Okay, that was his problem, wasn't it? But what's the main difference between Solomon and Samson? Well, at the end of Samson's life, he repented. Remember that famous scene where he pulls the pillars down? Okay, he's willing to sacrifice himself to do God's work. Samson repented. If you look in Hebrews 11 a little bit later, when it's got the list of famous Old Testament saints, Samson's there, Solomon isn't. Why? Because Solomon never repented. Solomon was a fake. When Jesus looks at you, what does he see? Are you a real deal Christian, or are you a fake? Now there's a danger, I'm very aware that there's a danger here today, that everyone sat here will simply brush off this sermon as not applicable to them. Because after all, you're in church. I mean, there's a multitude of other things you could be doing on a Sunday morning, but you've chosen to come to church. So you might say, well, I'm not a fake Christian because I'm here. I'm not a fake Christian because I've sang some songs. I'm not a fake Christian because I can recite some things. I've said amen to a few prayers. But look at me. Look at me now. If you're not looking at me, look at me. Can I be honest with you? Some of us are great churchgoers, but terrible Christians. Some of us are great churchgoers, but terrible Christians. I mean, some of us will come to church every week, and we'll probably do it for decades, but we will not do what Jesus tells us to do. Sure, we'll come on a Sunday because we think that's the best thing and that pleases God, but we won't let Jesus interfere with anything outside of a Sunday. You see, Jesus is the King of the greatest kingdom, whose love for me and you cannot be doubted. But sometimes we treat Jesus like a McDonald's drive-thru. We come for a little reconnect on a Sunday morning, and then that's it. He disappears until next Sunday. Let's conclude. I just want to look at Jesus' end words in verse 28. Jesus says these words, we learn about this. Look at the reaction to Jesus' teaching. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their leaders. You see, being amazed by Jesus doesn't mean that you're on Jesus' team. Being amazed by Jesus doesn't mean that you're a real deal Christian. I'll give you a very quick example. I don't know if anyone saw the England-Sweden game a couple of weeks ago. Okay, but there was a tall guy called Ibrahimovic. He scored a goal. It was an overhead kick from 30 yards. It was an amazing goal. I was amazed by Ibrahimovic's goal for Sweden. It doesn't mean I support Sweden. Okay, I'm not suddenly Swedish. It's not enough to be amazed by Jesus. You see, my friends, we are all here today and we're all hearing God's word. But as we learn from that text, that's not enough. Two men heard God's word, but Jesus says only one of them was wise. Only one of them was the real deal. It was the one who did what Jesus says. So are you going to be a real deal Christian? Are you going to repent? Are you going to turn to Jesus? Are you going to examine your own heart and see where you're struggling? And instead of blocking it off, you're going to turn and say, Jesus, I need you. I need your help. Because those who repent are real deal Christians. Remember what we heard at the beginning about the Channel 4 show? These judges go and they look and see who are the fakes and who are the real deals. Well, we said sometimes the fake passed as a real deal. My friends, one day we will all stand in front of the judge and he will know 100% for sure who is the real deal and who is the fake. Don't leave putting Jesus' words into actions too late. Repent and keep on repenting. Jesus said, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice will be like a wise man. They have a saying in Northern Ireland. It's time to wise up. Amen.